Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the first book in the New Testament, the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, begin reading in verse 19, or verse 18. And we're going to continue tonight the second part, the gift you and I have in Jesus. Now this morning I shared with you that whenever you receive Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, if you're a Christian, in reality, it's going to take us an eternity to understand what we have in Jesus Christ. There is no way you can comprehend in this one lifetime all that Jesus has given you if you belong to Him. And, you know, we think about gifts and we think about this time of the year and what we're going to get, what we're going to give someone else, what we're going to put under the tree, and what do we want, and you know, sometimes you ask, okay, now how much are you going to spend on me? And I want to know if, you know, what type of gauge we're going to use. Well, in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew records the birth of Jesus and what took place beginning in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What do you and I have whenever it comes to this person named Jesus? The greatest gift in all the world, it cannot be bought and cannot be sold. You know, you and I can give different things. We can share different exchanges all throughout our lifetime. And yet there is nothing in all the universe that compares to the awesome and wonderful gift that we have in Jesus Christ. And yet sadly, so many individuals, as I shared with you this morning, only really know this about Jesus. They know that they're saved. They know they're not going to die and go to hell. They know they're going to heaven. But past that, they don't really know a great deal much whenever it comes to their relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now, this morning I shared with you some very significant gifts that the Father gives us through Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, just to reorient you to them, and I hope you jotted them down and kept your outline. But the Bible says that you and I have the gift of a divine person living on the inside of us. Remember, I shared this morning that there's no way that you could ever be by yourself. It is absolutely impossible for you to be all alone ever again. If you live by yourself and are in a house by yourself and you think that you're alone, you can never be alone if you're a born-again believer. That's what Scripture says and it's what the Father says. But not only that, you and I have the gift of being made right with the God of the universe. I don't know about you, but it's very significant to me that I can go to bed tonight, lay down and go to sleep, and I don't have to worry about being condemned by the God of the universe. The Bible says there's no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. In other words, you're not going to stand under a judgment, under a condemnation. You have passed from death into life if you're a child of God. It makes a big deal if you're right with God. It makes absolutely everything in the world different when you're right with Him. But also shared that we have the unconditional love of God. And not only do you and I have it, but I shared with you this morning that you have that ability by God the Father to pass that on to others. That is, if you're a child of God, you have within you the capability to love anybody and everybody on the face of the earth. Now you say that is a bold statement, but that's the absolute truth. You have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. you have within you, the person who loves absolutely everyone. Because if you think about it, who in the world created every human being? God. Every human being has some fingerprint of God on their life. They may be the worst criminal, they may be the worst crook, but the reality is they don't exist if God didn't create them. Now, God doesn't endorse what they do and all they're participating in, but they've been created by the God of the universe. And so the Bible makes it very clear that God loved you and me, and therefore he gives you and me the capacity to love. You don't have it in your flesh. You know, you find somebody that's not saved, and they're as hateful as the Dickens, as mean as the Dickens, and I mean, you know, they just, you know, as one saying, they're just going to ugly away if they don't come to faith in Christ. And that's a reality. But when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, there's a difference inside and out. Why? Because they have a person, they have a divine person living on the inside of them. Now, if you have a pencil and a piece of paper, I want to share with you tonight some other gifts that you and I have through Jesus Christ. You know, he's not probably going to leave a present under your tree that's visible and tangible, that you'll open up and gift wrap, but the truth about it is so many things he gives us that we really oftentimes need to stop and think what he has given us being who he is and what we have because of him. Well, the Bible makes it very clear that we have the gift of eternal life. You know, when you look all throughout the pages of the New Testament, the word or the phrase eternal life, everlasting life, is all throughout the pages of the Bible. All throughout the New Testament, you'll find the phrase everlasting life or eternal life. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. Just imagine. Imagine for one moment there is no such thing as an eternity. Imagine however long you live your life, that's all there is to life. Whether it's 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, and then all of a sudden you evaporate into nothingness. You don't live forever. You just live for however long you are going to be on this earth. You say, that is horrible. I want you to listen. There are a lot of people who live believing just that. They live believing that, well, you know, and that's why they do everything they can to their body. They exercise morning, noon, and night, and in between meals. I mean, they do everything because they have this notion and this idea. But the Bible makes it very clear that if you are a child of God, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. Listen to what the Bible says in different places. John 10:28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Daniel was the first one to mention about everlasting life. And in his book, listen to what he says. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. There is one thing inside of every being, if they're really honest with themselves. Inside of you is a DNA that tells you that you really are going to live forever. I've talked to people that have never darkened the door of a church and asked them about where they're going to live. It's interesting, I've never heard a person tell me whenever they're getting ready to live in, you know, come to the end of their life, they've never said, you know, I'll cease to exist. I have yet to meet one person who tells me I will cease to exist. Why? Because inside of you and inside of me, inside every person, God has programmed them with a DNA to know that you're not going to ever die again. Every person is going to live someplace for all of eternity. Daniel said some are going to be resurrected to everlasting life. Some are going to be raised to everlasting contempt. That is doom and damnation and separation from God. But the Bible says, and every one of us knoweth, that we're going to live for all of eternity. Now think about this for a moment. And this just gets amazing when you stop and think about it. The moment you breathe your last breath, if you're a child of God, you're going to see, experience, be with those that you have read about all through history. You're going to see and be with and experience and know what it'd be like to talk to Abraham and Job and David and all the other greats who have been dead physically, some 2,000, Abraham about 4,000 years, and some even longer than that. Why? Because the Bible says that you have been given the gift of eternal life. Now, listen to me very carefully. You're not going to get eternal life when you die. You do not get eternal life when you die. You have eternal life inside of you right now because you belong to Jesus. Listen, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. You're not going to get something when you die. The Bible makes it very clear. And that's what was so amazing to Paul, to think, I have everlasting life on the inside of me right now because I have Jesus. Listen, the Bible said the mystery of godliness is this, Christ in you. So you're not going to have everlasting life. Sometimes somebody will think, well, when I die, I'm going to get everlasting life. No, you're not. You have everlasting life if you're a child of God. That's why you can walk closer to the grave and not to be snobbish or anything, but you can really laugh because you're not going to die. You're not going to die because you have the person of the risen Christ if you're a Christian living on the inside of you. And you see, you know, like I said, you know, we read about Abraham and we read about all the others and, you know, it's just mind-boggling. I was reading Abraham Lincoln just a few days ago and some of the experiences that he walked through in his life and losing a dear child. And one of the pastors in New York in that time came down to minister to Abraham Lincoln. And he started teaching, sharing some things with Abraham Lincoln. And he said, you know, Mr. President, your child is not dead. Your child is alive and with the Lord. And Abraham Lincoln heard that. When he heard that, he said, would you say it again? He said, Mr. President, your child is not dead. Your child is alive and with the Lord. And when he heard that, something happened in his life. As I was reading, I was so amazed in some things that you and I are never told. Do you know that when he was shot, he was talking about maybe in the short future going to Bethlehem? That was the conversation that was on his lips prior to him getting shot. Do you know that probably that next Sunday or the Sunday thereafter, he had made a confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and he was going to make it public? You don't read about that. You don't hear about that. He, in his own words, and you can look in historical documents, he said, I came to this place, and he named the place. He said, I was not a believer. And he said, I left this place, and talking about that particular place in the documents, he said, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. And the thought of my child living forever. And he made other comments about it. But here's the reality. Listen, you are not going to get eternal life. You have eternal life now. And that's what's so exciting. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You cannot perish before the Lord God. Why? Because he's given to you something you didn't deserve. There's no way you could have achieved it, got it. You have everlasting life. You can get to be 80, 90, 95, 100, 105 if you live that long. You still can't perish. And the thing about it is you can never go back to an unredeemed state. You know, sometimes we sin and, you know, sometimes we'll really botch it. You know somebody that's been saved and they've really botched it. You can never be unregenerate. You can't be lost again. He says, I've given to you the gift of life, and no one will ever take you out of my hands. Well, number two, jot it down. We have the gift of freedom from guilt. Paul made this very clear. He was talking to the saints at Rome, and he said, I want you to listen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you know what the word condemn literally means? Paul says there is no blame that the Father is laying on your life. How many of you, don't you dare raise your hand or answer this out loud, how many of you blame yourself, jump on yourself? I mean, you literally let yourself have it. If things don't go right, you just really give yourself what for. And you may think it's the Father, but it's not. It's the devil disguising his voice. Listen to what Paul says. He said, there is therefore no blame. You know, Paul could have lived a very depressed life. Think about what he did. He helped take the life of Stephen, and he watched Stephen die. After he became a Christian, he knew that Stephen was right and he had been wrong. He changed the course of one man's life. Not only did he change the course of that one man's life, but he affected his entire family from then on. He could have lived a very discouraged and depressed life. Some of you may be in that very situation. You're very disheartened, discouraged, depressed. But Paul made something very interesting. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind. Why? Because here's what he knew. The God who had saved him, redeemed him, the Jesus Christ that lived on the inside of him, had given him the gift, listen, freedom from guilt. Do you realize that the Father has given you through Jesus Christ the freedom of guilt? Sadly, so many people live in guilt and they're walking in guilt, and parents put guilt on children. Do you realize the Father will never put guilt on you? It is not the nature of your Heavenly Father to put guilt. Now you say, now what if I sin? Well, He's going to convict you of sin. You can count on that. He's going to convict you of sin. He's going to convict you of those things that we do that are uncoming to Him. And Paul realized that he had the gift of freedom. Now think about it. How in the world can he live free knowing what he has done, knowing what has taken place in his life? Because he understood through Jesus Christ, he had the gift of freedom. He had been given a gift. You see, the thing about it is Jesus has many gifts to give us, but a lot of times we won't receive them. We won't receive the gift of freedom. That's why some people will literally die and go to their grave, and they'll live under a cloak of guilt all of their life. Some of you have done some things in your life to God you'd never done, and you're still living in guilt. You're living in the misery and the baggage and the junk that has caused in your life because you have said to yourself, that is too big and too bad and beyond God to forgive. No, it's not. The gift of God through Jesus Christ is freedom from guilt. When you really enjoy the gift of Jesus Christ in your life, you will not live one single day in guilt. Now, there is one who wants you to live in guilt. Turn over to the book of Revelation a minute. There's one that's constantly harassing you and always on you. And he has a very disguising voice. And he may even try to sound like God, but he's not. And Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the, what's the next word? Accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel like you're being accused before God day and night? You're not doing enough in church. You're not reading enough Bible. You're not doing enough this, and you're not doing enough that, and you're not praying long enough. I never will forget, before I understood this truth and the Father brought it home to my life, I was really wanting to have a serious time in prayer. And what I would do, I would gauge my seriousness by how long I'd pray. And one morning, I thought I was doing real good. I prayed 5 minutes. Next morning, I thought I was doing a lot better. I prayed 7 minutes. And then the next morning, I fell off the wagon. I was praying, and I was serious, and it was about 2 minutes. I thought, well, there I go again. Now listen, I say that to say this. The devil has so many sneaky, underhanded ways to make you live in guilt. The God who created you and gives to you eternal life to those who call on him does not want you to live. Now, I want you to listen. I want you to listen. Doesn't want you to live 1 hour of one day in guilt. Then why do we? Because we don't understand the truth. Why could Paul go like he did, live the way he did, and all the things that he had done in his past? Because he knew that the Jesus that had saved him set him free from bondage and baggage and guilt. And, you know, he says it in Romans 8. There is now no condemnation. There's no blame. God's not out to lay blame on you. One of the wonderful gifts of Jesus Christ is that freedom from guilt. That freedom from sin. Why? Because he's taken your sins upon you. What sin will he not forgive that you commit? I've had people sit across from me, and there's no way I would share with you some of the things they've shared with me, the things that they've done and experienced in life. And then they'll look at me and say, would God forgive that? Absolutely. But here's the struggle. We struggle believing he will because we feel like it's beyond forgiveness. That's not what Scripture says. Paul makes it very clear. You know, and if you don't realize the freedom of God, then, you know, you miss out on the freedom he has in store for you. As a matter of fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, why did Paul live the way he did, write as much as he wrote? You know, one of the reasons I believe, he was so excited that God had released him of all the guilt and the junk and the trash in his life. If you're really going to experience the gift of Jesus Christ in your life, you've got to allow him to get rid of all the junk. You ever know somebody's house that's just all cluttered and you want to help them, but it's just all cluttered? They want to hold on to it. The truth about it is, God won't make you let go of stuff. You've got to allow him to get rid of some of the stuff and the junk and that's in our lives. Well, number seven, we have the gift of a new nature. Now, Paul makes it very clear. When you and I are in Jesus Christ, you are new. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I want you to listen. Somebody says, maybe after they've been saved, well, you know, I still can't control my tongue, or I really have a problem with this and that and the other. Listen, a Christian, a genuine New Testament Christian, they have a new nature. You're not the same person. Now, you'll look in the mirror and you'll look similar, but you're different. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And the wonder of this is this. You know, and just as a caterpillar goes through the process of metamorphosis and it becomes a butterfly, and that's a mystery in our earth. Do you realize that's really what happens in your life when you become a child of God, when you became a child of God? You look similar on the outside, but you're not the same. Now, let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you think it foolish and unwise if a caterpillar became a butterfly and it still did everything a caterpillar did? You know, one of the sadnesses before the Father is this. So many people have been changed by the grace of God and they're still living a caterpillar life. Listen to what he says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Well, why do we miss out on it? Why do so many people miss out on experiencing that newness? And by the way, the interesting word for new there is fresh. When you're in Jesus Christ, you're a fresh person. Let me give you an example. Here's a daddy that drinks and does all these things, and the Spirit of God begins to work in his life, and he falls under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and he confesses his sins before God, and he goes home, and now he goes home to a wife that doesn't drink. He doesn't drink. He's not that way. Why? Because he becomes a new person. If you're in Jesus Christ, now I want you to listen to me. If you're in Jesus Christ, are you a new person? Do you act like it? Do you live like the new person the Father told that you really are? You see, here's the sad part about it. It's not you're going to be a new person. That's not what the Bible says. You're not going to be a new person when you get to heaven. And a lot of people say, well, you know what? I just can't wait to get to heaven. Listen, the Bible says you are a new person. If you don't, you know, there's no saying if it looks like a skunk and smells like a skunk and, you know, has the odor of a skunk, it's got to be a skunk. Nobody's going to fool God. There's a lot of people who call themselves believers, Christians, and they've never been redeemed. They've never been changed. The fragrance of their life is not new. Oh, they've started going to church and they've started doing some things. But here's the reality. When you're in Jesus Christ, he doesn't give you religion. Sometimes when I hear people say, well, I got religion, it just almost makes me sick. God never came to give you a religion. An atheist has a religion. An agnostic has a religion. Hindus have a religion. Jesus didn't come to give you a religion. He came to give you a relationship. And when you realize you have a relationship with God the Father, and it's a new relationship, it's a fresh relationship, you have the same privilege as your elder brother Jesus Christ to walk into the presence of God and to talk to the presence of God and to ask of him. Listen, that's what he says. That's the truth of his word. We have the gift of a new nature. Now, let me raise a question. Do people around you know you're a new creation? Do you look and act funny according to the world? Do people wonder why you are the way you are? Somebody at work says, why don't you act like us? Or let me raise this question to you. Have you compromised so much you don't look like a new creation in Christ? Is it possible to compromise? Oh, yes. It's so possible to compromise that you don't really even look like that born-again believer God wanted you to be. You've compromised your convictions. You've compromised the Word of God. You compromised, listen, you've given yourself a lot of cop-outs and a lot of excuses and said, well, I can't be loving. Listen, there's only one thing. Either God is true or you're true, and which two is God? You're definitely not God, and I'm not God. There's only one God. Amen? So the question is, since I have the new nature, am I living in it? Am I living each day with the freshness of the nature of God upon my life? Now, does that mean we're not going to sin? No. You're going to sin. You're going to blow it. You're going to do some things. But the Bible says we have a new nature. You have a new nature means that you have the nature of Jesus living on the inside of you. Now, this gets challenging because he expects you to look like him. Did you hear what it said? How's anybody going to find Jesus? Why doesn't God send Jesus back down from heaven and let people see him? He has, in you and me. You see, the truth about it is Jesus is going to come back, but every time that he saves a person, there's a person that is different. And that's what Scripture says. He's redeemed. Well, lastly, we have the gift of peace. If I ask you to give a definition of peace, how would you do it? I've often said this. Peace is one of the hardest things to define, but you sure know when it's not there. And Scripture makes it very clear in the book of Isaiah. Well, Jesus said in John chapter 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, I want to ask you a question. Jesus said, I've given you the gift of peace. He says, and listen to what he says, peace I leave with you. He's talking to his disciples, but he's talking to every believer that will walk on the face of the earth. He said, peace I leave with you. I don't leave peace like the world gives. Well, what does the world give? You've got peace if you've got money. You've got peace if you've got your health. You've got peace if you've got things. You've got peace if. If the right circumstances and the right conditions and the right criteria all line up just right, then I have peace. That's not what Jesus said. Sometime, read the Gospels afresh and just watch what Jesus does. I'm reading the Gospel of Mark again, and I'm just looking at what Jesus does. And I'm looking at it from this perspective. How would we as a human being respond in your situation? How would we as a human being respond in his situation? Think about it. The disciples turn against him. So many people turn against him. But if you look at Jesus, there's one thing that is noticeably intriguing about his life. He never loses his peace. He never loses his calmness. You say, well, he went into the temple and he drove the money changers out. But it's interesting, the Bible never says that he hit a single one of them. He did exactly what needed to be done before the Father. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. But there is a condition. You see, every born-again believer can live in peace. You can live in peace. I'll call him Tom. He's in the hospital. He's living in peace. He's only in his 30s, and he's had his right leg amputated twice. Part of the way and then the rest of the way. I'll call another man Mr. Harris. That's not his name. He'll probably never get out of the hospital. He can barely move. And he is the most exciting man to be around. And he uses those arms and he's excited and he's a happy person. And I thought, there's a peace you've got. Now listen. How do you know that someday your health won't fade? How do you know someday you won't get struck with some disease? How do you know someday that you'll walk into the doctor and he'll come back and say to you, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you have, and then he'll name some horrible, horrible thing. Jesus said, I give you peace. Not as the world gives. You see, the peace that Jesus gives is never contingent on bodily health. It's never contingent upon your strength, your possessions, your money. It's never contingent upon anything. Jesus said, my peace I give you. I leave it with you. It is absolutely, totally possible to live in peace irregardless of the crises that you face in life. God gives you and me so many different situations and so many different wonderful examples. You look right in the middle of a tornado if you're ever happen to watch some of these television shows, and there's a perfect calm right in the middle of the tornado. That's not an accident. That's a reminder. When you're walking right in the middle of the will of God, there is perfect peace. You may lose your health, but if you're walking in the middle of the will of the Father, you can lose your health, you can lose possessions. Why? Because Jesus said, it's a gift I give to you. It's not something you work for. You don't go to school and learn how to get peace. You don't take 12 easy steps to peace. Jesus said, I give it to you. And when Jesus gives you something, here's the wise thing to do. Lord, I claim it. You see, under the Christmas tree this Christmas, you're going to have some presents. And there's one thing that's essential for you to enjoying them. You've got to go over to the tree or sit there and let somebody bring them to you, whichever one you do at your house. But I guarantee you, unless it's a little fella, they'll let you do the unwrapping. Now, I've never known of anybody that's enjoyed a Christmas present just sitting there holding it. And, you open it up, and whatever it is, ladies, it may be a diamond ring. It may be a diamond necklace. And then it may be from Kmart or Walmart or some other mart. But here's the reality. And it may be the best you can give, but here's the reality. Think about this. Has Jesus ever given you anything of inferior quality? He can't. And he says, Benny, no matter what happens in your life, I'll give you peace. No matter where you find yourself, I give you the gift of peace. And you see, sometimes we say, and we even hear ourselves say, well, I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I don't have the other. But you know what? We came into this world without anything, didn't we? And we're going to go out without anything. I love the way that Job put it. Though the skin worms devour this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. The gift of peace. It's yours. And Isaiah says it very clearly. He says, God will keep you in perfect peace as long as your focus is fixed on Him. Have you ever lost your focus? I have. Oh, I've lost my focus. And you get real frantic and all up in a dither and irritated and angry. And I know none of you all ever get mad. But sometimes some people get mad. And you find out, what happened with my focus? And the Lord just reminds you and me, if you'll keep your focus on me, irregardless of the storms, just keep it on me. No matter what's happening in your life, keep it on me. No matter how bad the situation may be, keep it on me. I'll keep you in perfect peace as long as you're focused on me. The question is, all the gifts He's given you, are you allowing yourself to enjoy them? Or, put in a word, are you still leaving them under the tree of God's goodness? Wouldn't it be horrible, 10 years from now, to find a box And in those boxes were a set of keys. And those keys were to a vehicle. And that vehicle was brand new. But you didn't know to claim it. And you missed out on all that it was. You say, I won't miss anything like that. But there's something far worse happening. Believers all over the world have got a lot of religion. But they're missing the relationship. They're missing out on enjoying the gifts. And you see, when you enjoy the gift, you live in perpetual happiness. You really do. Why? Because that's what the Father has in store. My peace I give you, not as the world gives. Are you allowing yourself to enjoy the gifts of God? Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your grace and your love and for your gifts. Father, you give us so many gifts. It will really take an eternity for us to really understand all the gifts you give us. But Father, I pray right now, that person who's here tonight that doesn't have the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ, Lord, in reality, they know. No one really has to convince them. They really know. Father, I pray for them. I lift them to you right now. Would you remind them you love them? Remind them that you care for them. Remind them that you want only the best. Father, you didn't come to give us a religion per se. You came that man could enter into a relationship. And when we realize that, life takes on such a different meaning. Life becomes living then. Living becomes walking with the Father. And Lord, I pray for that person or persons who's been given the gift, but they've not allowed themselves to enjoy them. Maybe because of some sin in their life that they feel like you won't forgive them of. But the truth about it is, it's already been forgiven 2,000 years ago. They're just not allowing themselves to enjoy your forgiveness. Father, have your will and your way in this invitation. It's our prayer in Jesus we pray. Amen.